Hare Krishna, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text number 8. Chapter is entitled, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons, could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Purport. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Jagai madai hoite mui se papishtha Puri Shera Kita Hoite Muisela Gishtha. Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in the stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnava actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano ena gatasa pantha. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Et Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pavchata Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I seek the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas for that I can speak on this very exalted topic, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj for the purification of my own heart and for the pleasure of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Yesterday, we celebrated Lord Narasimhadev's appearance day and we discussed the first 8 chapters of the 7th canto. The Lord appears and he kills Hiranyakashipu. And then we ended the class with the description how Prahlad pacifies the Lord by offering him a garland. And the Lord is extremely happy to see Prahlad. And all the great demigods could not satisfy the Lord. They all tried to offer prayers, but the Lord was roaring in anger. But as soon as he saw Prahlad, the Lord was pacified. So it is basically very obvious that Prahlad is the most exalted of all Vaishnavas in that assembly. Yet we see in these prayers that Prahlad doesn't believe that he is more exalted or is better than all the other devotees there. Generally, this pastime of Prahlad Narasimha, we end the pastime with Hiranyakashipu being killed. Generally, we don't go beyond that because there is no time left. I remember 2 years ago, I was told to give the Narasimha Chaturdashi festival class in Chaupati, where I stay. And I changed. I said, today, that whole class I gave on the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Because I said, generally, we explain the whole pastime. By the time the pastime is over, there is no time for the prayers. And prayers are extremely powerful in the Bhagavatam. See, many times what happens when we read pastimes, we are very excited. But when it comes to prayers, we fast forward often. We want action. But the prayers in the Bhagavatam, they are the soul of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we carefully and attentively read these prayers, we will also learn how to offer prayers to Krishna. And if you see consistently in the Bhagavatam, all the different prayers that Gajendra, Kunti Devi, Prahlad, Dhruva, all the devatas, all of them, the prayers they offer, all these prayers have generally 4 features, common features. You will see even in these prayers. One is praise. They always praise the Lord. Oh Lord, you are so wonderful, you are so beautiful, you destroy the demons. So this kind of the praise element is very prominent in the prayers. And generally, most of us, I mean, I can speak for myself, that many times when we offer prayers to the Lord, we hardly praise the Lord. We directly ask for things that we need. Now, we have a paper in our pocket, we remove it symbolically. And amari mange puri karo. You know, please fulfill my demands, my dear Lord. I have these desires. So if at all we pray for ourselves. But the Bhagavatams, you know, if you see the 7 o'clock, we have Shringar Darshan, greeting of the deities. Srila Prabhupada gave us these 2 very beautiful prayers where we praise the Lord. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bajami and Venum Kwanantam. We are describing Krishna's flute, peacock feather, the way he is dressed. And then how he has transcendental senses, Angani Asya. So we glorify Krishna. Purely, Krishna is the center. Generally, even in our prayers, I is the center. So the main element of prayers is making Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So praise, you will see, is a very common feature in all the prayers, including Prahlad's prayers. Second is gratitude. Thanks for all the unlimited gifts that Krishna has given us. So gratitude is also one of the most important qualities of a Vaishnava. One of the 64 qualities of Krishna is gratitude. Krishna is so grateful. Rupa Goswami says that Krishna becomes very grateful. Why rush to protect Draupadi? It's because he felt so grateful that Draupadi is calling my name. So Krishna becomes very grateful when he sees that a devotee is calling his name. So that is a quality of Krishna. So how much more important it is for us to cultivate gratitude. So thanks is another feature. Third is all the devotees, they beg forgiveness from the Lord for all the past mistakes. And this is basically a feature of humility. Like this is what we are seeing in today's prayer. expressing oneself as fallen, begging forgiveness from the Lord. This is very common in all the prayers. And last is, what is the last? Any guesses? Request or appeal, asking from the Lord. So these are the four things you will find very common. Because we have to ask from Krishna, right? We can't see a child. Whom will the child approach? Parents, for whatever the child needs. Similarly, a devotee will approach Krishna. So there is nothing wrong in asking from Krishna. So these are the four common features. Praise, second, gratitude or thanks, third, forgiveness, and finally, request. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees in ISKCON to learn Gajendra prayers or Kunti prayers. Why? Srila Prabhupada said, so that we can learn how to offer prayers. So when we come in front of Krishna, we could repeat these prayers. As we are repeating these prayers, we could also add our own personal element, personal aspect, personal. You know, we can make these prayers personal. So we can always praise the Lord. We can always ask for forgiveness for all the mistakes we have done in the past. We can express profuse gratitude for all the gifts that Krishna has given us all these years. And finally, we can request. Satswarup Maharaj writes in one of the books, I think Entering the Life of Prayer, he says how it is important to repeat these prayers of Prahlad and Kunti, but we should not hide behind these prayers. I like that statement very much. He said we hide behind these prayers in the sense, he says we memorize these prayers sometimes and we also chant them, but we become so mechanical that we hide behind these prayers, which means we don't offer our own selves to Krishna. So therefore, it is important that we memorize these prayers, or at least we can't, even if we don't know the Sanskrit, that's okay, the words. You know? And even if we can't memorize as it is, we can at least imbibe the spirit. And especially for devotees, you know, as we spend some years in the Krishna consciousness movement, our initial sweetness and innocence gets replaced often with cynicism. We often become cynical. We are not impressed by simple things anymore. Earlier, you know, we thought everyone was, we were on the other extreme. Everybody is pure devotee, Hari Bol, everything was great and festive. And then we go to the other extreme. You know, we have a laid back attitude and okay, not impressed by anything. But prayers keeps us grounded because we are in touch with Krishna. And here we see Prahlad Maharaj in this particular prayer that we have taken today. This is the first of the prayers that Prahlad Maharaj offers more than 50 prayers. There are 50 verses. And in these prayers, it is confirmed, basically, before the prayers also, it is confirmed that he is the greatest devotee. But he is only in the mood, Krishna, how can I please you? You know, generally, this humility which Prahlad is displaying naturally and spontaneously, generally, for us, we are humble because we are humbled. If at all we are humble. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that humiliation, for most of us, humiliation comes before humility. But generally we are humble when we fall or we fail. But to be humble in the middle of success, when you are recognized as the best or the greatest, that requires character. And we see in Prahlad's prayers that he is very humble when there is victory, there is celebration, the Lord has appeared. And generally, if you see many of us, we commit offenses when we are happy or when we are good or when we are so-called successful. It's easy to slip and become proud. But if you see Kunti, Prahlad, they offer intense prayers after success. Like Kunti's prayers. After they got the kingdom, they are happy now. They got what they wanted. But that's when Kunti offers the best prayers. Like Prahlad prayer. Now we also chant Narasimha Arati many times when we go on a long yatra. I remember when we're going to Mayapur in the train, we intensely chant. Because, you know, we are scared of so many things. So before journey, we chant Prahlad the prayer, Narasimha prayers. We have a fear of accident maybe, whatever. Krishna, Narasimha Dev, please protect us. If at all we are intense before we embark on the journey. Once we reach the destination, do we chant Narasimha Arati? with great joy? How many of us have chanted? We forget Lord Narasimhadev. We forget the Lord. We are so happy and relieved that we've reached safely. And then after we spend our time there and it is time to go back, then again we intensely chant. And once we reach, we forget. So that is generally the mood, like we are dependent on the Lord. But you see, Prahlad is setting a different standard. His most intense prayers are after the Lord has appeared and when he's safe, actually. Srila Prabhupada writes in the last line of this purport that unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. And he quotes this famous verse of Kaviraj Goswami, who is saying that I am worse than Jagai and Madai, and I am worse than a worm in the stool. This cannot be imitated. These prayers cannot be imitated, but the principle of considering oneself lower than a worm in the stool, the principle is that I am small. Sometimes, you know, we try to imitate those prayers and it is so artificial. We can't do that. In fact, if somebody is already depressed and is very sad and he starts offering prayers like, I'm fallen, and he is not actually connected to Krishna. And if he enters the space of being fallen and being miserable, it's likely that he's going to get more depressed because Krishna element is missing in his prayers. So we need to be careful. That's why gratitude is also important. That helps us. And we need some self-worth. Devotees need to be happy. So what? But at the same time, this principle applies. Sachinandan Maharaj gave a good example to explain this point. He said, the principle is light removes darkness. That is a principle. Now, light removes darkness is a principle. How to apply this principle depends on each one of us. He said, for some of us, this principle can be applied by lighting a match. So, light removes darkness. It may be a small light. And the same principle, sun may also practice, but in a big way. Sun, the capacity of the sun to remove darkness is much higher than a small match. Right? Similarly, when Kaviraj Goswami says, I am worse than a worm in the stool, I am worse than Jagai Madai, that's like the sun. And at our level, a tiny match could be, Krishna, please help me, I made mistakes. Let me respect all devotees. So we can internalize these prayers like that. And also we can see Prahlad Maharaj never glorifies himself. And we can learn from this how as devotees, if we glorify ourselves in front of materialistic people, you think they'll be happy with our success? If we glorify ourselves, if we have this mood, then generally materialistic people become envious. And devotees, they just feel sorry for us. You know, you are just full of yourself. So Prahlad is setting the standard that we need to be in the mood of Trinadapi because mercy is already there. Krishna's mercy is abundantly flowing, but we need a container to hold that mercy, that grace. And the container is the mood of respect, amanina, manadena. And this consciousness helps us access Krishna's grace. So we will not be able to cover all the 50 prayers. This first prayer is beautiful and all the first four prayers Prahlad is expressing his fallen condition, expresses deep humility. And after those four prayers, interestingly, Prahlad talks about self-confidence. He talks about how he is now going to give up the conception of being unqualified and is going to offer prayers with full confidence to the best of his capacity. Krishna consciousness is of balance. So very beautifully Prahlad Maharaj balances. And there are many prayers, but the essence of all these prayers is after Prahlad completes his prayers, Narasimhadev says, yes Prahlad, ask for a benediction, I can fulfill any of your desires. Ask. And Prahlad then starts a second innings of prayers. Because now Narasimhadev is giving him a benediction, ask. So now he has a chance to ask for anything he wants. And Prahlad says, my dear Lord, please don't tempt me. I'm already full of material attachments. I'm afraid of material life. And I don't want to have a merchant relationship with you. I don't want to offer prayer so that I can get something else in return. And I'm not pure. And if I ask for material desires, that means I am not actually a devotee. And if a master fulfills the material desires of his servant, that means he is not a good master. Jai Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. So then Prahlad says, my dear Lord, if at all you want to give me benediction, I beg that let there be no material desires in the core of my heart. And Narasimhadev says, Prahlad, I order you to ask for benedictions. Bhogena punyam, kushalena papam. You enjoy material in this material world. I order you to enjoy. Then Prahlad says, okay, if at all you want to give me, fulfill my desires, then please fulfill this desire that forgive my father. So he sets very high standards of prayers. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj's prayers are glorified, because he didn't ask for any material desires. So you can imagine how much he must have conquered the Lord. When we approach someone and we don't have any material, and that person has no material dealings with us, how much we start liking that person, isn't it? I would like to share one example I had. You know, this is one experience I had in 2008, I think. 2008, I was in Mayapur. It was a summer season, extremely hot. Very few devotees come there at that time. And Prabhupada Samadhi was empty. There was nobody there. It was an Ekadashi. And I thought, today I can chant here. There is nothing to be done. So I was chanting and I spent a few hours. And then the pujari there in the Samadhi. I was the only one in the Samadhi chanting. So this pujari came close to me and said, Prabhu, prasad khayenge, prasad. So I said, oh, I'm hungry, Ekadashi. You know, you may chant a lot, but then still your hunger is hunger. So I was very hungry and I was thinking where I'll get prasadam. And here comes a pujari, says, I will offer you prasadam. Do you want prasadam? I said, yes. And he said, come with me. And as he took me inside, the seed of suspicion. Oh, why does he want to give me prasadam? Maybe he wants something in return. You know, this is how we typically think. Why would he give me? Because he's an elderly Bengali brahmachari. Maybe he wants a job in Mumbai. and he knows I am from Chowpatty. Maybe he wants some favor. So I started suspecting. Unfortunately, I should not be doing like that. But that is what my condition was at that point of time. But then I said, I'm hungry, let me eat prasadam, let's see, let's cross the bridge when we come to it, let's see what he wants. But I'm right now hungry. And he took me inside, and he was very kind in his behavior, and the more he behaved nicely, the more I suspected. So he made me sit, got nice plate, leaf plate, and he was singing bhajans, Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans, and offering prasadam. Prabhu, please take more. You know these Bengali devotees and Bangladesh devotees, if you have been there, you will see they have an unbelievable mood. It appears as if they have just popped out of the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, they are like always serving, and they'll make 10 sabzis and they'll feed you, and they're like this, very expressive in their emotions. So this devotee was serving prasadam and sweets, and I'm like enjoying it, but I'm thinking now it's going to say something. But he's only chanting the bhajans, Vaishnava bhajans. And after prayers, after prasadam, he insisted on taking my plate and he helped me wash my hands. And then I was thinking, he's going to ask me now. And then finally, I said, Prabhu, you want anything? Hari bol, you're just singing bhajans. And then said, yeah, Prabhu, I have one desire. And then I said, now comes his request. He said, Prabhu, please pray for me. I have had no, there has to be more to it, you know. So I wanted to know. And then as I spoke more to him, I realized he just wanted nothing. He just felt pity on me. This person is chanting in Samadhi, struggling to remain awake. Poor fellow, he must be hungry. So he just felt compassion on me. That's all. And he just fed me prasad. He spent almost 40 minutes with me. He may have other services to do. And he's a stranger. I don't even know him. And he just fed prasadam. And then I said, no, Prabhu, you know, I'm feeling so obliged, so grateful to you. Is there something I can do for you? Then he repeatedly said, Prabhu, you have come from Chopati. There are so many nice devotees there. All of you, please pray for me. He just stuck to his mood. And I was so ashamed. But then I immediately ran to my... I found out where he stays. I ran to my room. I had bought some cookies from temple. Because I was planning to stay there for 2 weeks. So whatever Mahaprasad I had bought, I went and gave him. And I have... See, we meet so many people all the time, but I've forgotten all the exchanges. But this person, I've not been able to forget. Because here was somebody who just gave me whatever he had without expecting anything in return. And now in retrospect, I look back and I think that if a hard-hearted person like me can be so affected by somebody's genuinely not wanting anything in return, how much more Krishna, who is the most soft-hearted person, would feel when we approach him and serve him and not want anything but accept his pleasure. Krishna, I just want to please you. Krishna will be overwhelmed. That's why Srila Prabhupada's class, I was hearing last week, Srila Prabhupada is saying, so Krishna went to forest of Vrindavan to herd the cows, and the gopis were waiting for Krishna. Krishna, when will you come? They just wanted to love Krishna. And when Krishna came back, the gopis did not go and check his pockets. What he has bought for us. What have you bought for me, Krishna? They didn't look at his pocket. They didn't remove things from his pocket. There was nothing. They just wanted to love Krishna. They wanted to give Krishna. So this is the mood of a devotee. So I know that, you know, it may appear a little artificial for us because we are filled with so many desires. Like it, you know, initial days when I remember, when I was new, when I would hear this, offering prayers and asking Krishna, how can I please you? It appeared so difficult. Because I have so many of my own desires. So I would struggle with that. But then one devotee gave me a good example. Because that time we had this monthly Bhakti Shastri exams. And I had to study for those exams. And because I come from an academic background, somehow, you know, this desire that I wanted to get the highest marks. So we were at that time 50 brahmacharis. And every month there would be an intense exam for 5 hours. On each chapter of the Gita, there would be 100 marks exam, essay exam, there would be 100 marks, objective type. And there were all very good, highly educated brahmacharis in the temple. And I wanted to prove my point. I wanted to prove that I am very good. So I wanted to get highest marks. And that thought would embarrass me so much because I saw all the devotees here are so nice and they're pure. They just want to serve. So I'm also doing service. But when it came to studying, that college conditioning in the University of, you know, wanting to get good marks and better. So I was struggling. So I went to my senior devotee in the ashram and I asked him that I'm feeling extreme pain because, you know, I have this desire to come first in the exam. But I'm ashamed of it. But when I come in front of Krishna, I'm finding it so artificial to pray that Krishna, I just want to please you. So he gave me a very, very nice solution which I practice till today. He said, see, it is very artificial to go and ask Krishna for pure devotional service if you cannot ask for it. Just ask what you want. But then end your prayer by saying, Krishna, I ask for all these things. Please give me. And if you desire, and I have a request. I am a fool. I don't know what to pray. So please give me the intelligence that next time when I come in front of you, I can offer the right kind of prayers. I liked it so much. I was honest in my prayers. I could ask Krishna what I wanted and also end with the appeal that Krishna, give me the intelligence to pray in such a way that I can please you. And now when I look back, you know, now when we have this Bhagavad Gita discussions or tests, I don't want to come first. That doesn't mean I'm advanced. It's just that, you know, you learn to transcend those petty, like Dhruva. Dhruva wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. So instead of suppressing that desire, he purified that desire by approaching Krishna. And when the Lord appeared and asked him, Dhruva, ask, but he was so satisfied. The process of devotional service purified his heart because he was constantly connected to Krishna. So therefore, this is our approach, and following Prahlad's footsteps, we want to ask from Krishna nothing. The principle is that we just want to please Krishna. If you are unable to do that, no problem. We'll ask what we need or what we want, but end with the supplication, Krishna, please give me the intelligence to want to purify my heart and please you. Just imagine in any relationship, I'm talking about a normal relationship in this world. You know, if just imagine in that relationship, you are only thinking of yourself. What will please me? I want this. Will that relationship really blossom? Don't you think at some point of time, if you really want to be happy in that relationship, we should also be wanting to please the person whom we have a relationship with? What is your desire? Don't you think we should come to that stage ever? How long will we keep saying, I want this. You know, Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu was giving a class a few weeks ago here, Saturday. He said this, we always keep saying, add Krishna in your life. After 20 years also, we just want to add Krishna. Why not tell Krishna, what is your desire? Krishna, I want to please you. So somewhere we need to come to that level. Somewhere we need to raise our standard. But we have to come to that level somehow. Otherwise, we will be full of ourselves only. So Prahlad Maharaj is the best example. He just wants to glorify the Lord. And what is Lord doing? Lord is glorifying him as the greatest devotee. He doesn't want any name fame, but he has become so famous that million years later, we are still glorifying him. A devotee runs away from name and fame, but the Lord wants to glorify him. Same thing happened with Madhavendra Puri. He was running away from Remuna because he didn't want to be glorified. He didn't want any name and fame. But the Lord said, you don't want to be famous. You just want to make me famous. But I'll see that you become famous. Pratishtara bhaye puri gela palana. Krishna prema pratishta chale sange gadana. Kaviraj Goswami says, because of fear of fame, Madhavendra Puri ran away from Remuna. Pratishtara bhaye. He was afraid of pratishta. And Krishna said, oh, you love me so much that you don't want any name and fame. So, Krishna prema pratishta chale sange gadana. So, when Madhavendra Puri ran away from Remuna to go to Puri because he didn't want to be famous, Kaviraj Goswami says, his fame ran faster than him and reached Puri. So, when he reached Puri, Jagannath Puri, the people already knew about him. So, Prahlad, he says, I don't want anything for myself. I just want to glorify you, my dear Lord. I just want to please you. And the more he is saying like that, the more the Lord is purchased. So this is what happens. I think one of the best examples we have live right now is Loknath Goswami. You know, all of you know Loknath Goswami is a guru of Narottam Das Thakur. He had vowed, I will not accept any disciple because I am servant of everyone. So he vowed, I will not take any disciple. And Narottam Das Thakur said, if I take initiation only from Loknath Goswami. So he started serving Loknath Goswami so menially, and Loknath Goswami was completely melted, you know, his heart completely melted, and he said, you are the only disciple I will have. So he accepted him as a disciple. So Loknath Goswami told Kaviraj Goswami, if you want my blessings to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, you should not mention my name anywhere. Only then I will give you blessings. So Kaviraj Goswami has not mentioned Loknath Goswami's name. And Narottam Das Thakur is the only disciple he has. He doesn't want any name and fame. But see what has happened. Every day in Guru Puja we sing this prayer. What is the fourth stanza? Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Janara Bandhu Lokanath Lokera Jivana. So Narottam Das Thakur is glorifying Loknath Goswami, spiritual master. How the Guru is an ocean of mercy. And then he's in the last stanza he's saying, this is my spiritual master, Loknath Goswami. And this prayer, every ISKCON temple, all over the world, for the next 10,000 years, everybody is going to chant. Everybody is going to remember Loknath Goswami. He didn't want any name and fame. He just wanted to glorify Krishna and serve devotees. Isn't it amazing how Krishna's sense of humor, what Krishna wants to do? So therefore, as we get senior, as we get older in bhakti, this is what we need to learn from Prahlad's prayers, that I don't want anything, Krishna, I just want to glorify you. Unfortunately, what happens, some of us, as we get senior, we become so cynical. We lose that sweetness and it comes out obviously in our behavior. But if you have a culture of prayers, then we will be grounded. We will come back. It's okay to, you know, it's okay to get distracted, but what is more important is to come back. The plane may be tossed by the winds, but the pilot gets it back on track. So we have one devotee who is a very senior doctor in a hospital, or a very, very famous hospital in Mumbai. So he was giving Bhagavatam class one day. He is working in one KEM Medical, King Edward Memorial Medical College, a very famous college, and he's a professor there. And he was giving a Bhagavatam class. He said an interesting anecdote. He said, in my hospital, when I call up my hospital, I come to know whether the receptionist is new, old, or medium, or somebody in between. He says, when I call up and the receptionist says, welcome to KM Hospital, how can I serve you? So as soon as I hear that, so see, in India, many places, it's still not automated. It is, you know, person is there live. So this Prabhuji was saying that when I hear that, this is KM Hospital, how can I serve you? So he says, I immediately know this is a new bhakta. He's a new person. And then after, you know, sometimes I call and if I hear, yes, this is KM, that's it, then I know this person has become a little senior. He knows how to not really give that much respect or talk. And sometimes when I call and I get the answer, kya hai? What do you want? So I know, oh, he's very senior now in the hospital. So he was saying that, you know, so he guards himself like that. He says, I remind myself, I should be careful because now I am a senior, so-called senior devotee. I have to be careful. I should not forget the etiquette and the way I was when I was a new devotee. So this is a very important prayer of Prahlad, the first prayer where he is glorifying the Lord. And then the next prayer is very, very nice because after expressing himself as extremely fallen, see, the humility means two things. One is I am low, but the second aspect of humility is what? Krishna is everything, you know. I am nothing, but Krishna is everything. If Krishna is everything, is not part of the prayer, I am nothing will lead to depression. If there is no Krishna, so Prahlad is teaching us how to pray. First, he expresses his own fallen condition. And the next prayer, he glorifies Krishna in the choicest of poetry. He says, what is the secret, my dear Lord, of attracting you? Manye danabijana rupa tapa shrutaujas teja prabhava balapa rushabuddhi yoga naradanayahi bhavanti parasya pumso bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuta paya. He says, my dear Lord, I am convinced that you cannot be attracted by any of these things. He mentions 11 things. Dhana, wealth. Abhijana, followers. Dhana abhijana, rupa, beauty. Teja, influence. Bala, strength. Paurusha, buddhi, yoga. Buddhi means intelligence. So he says, none of these qualities can attract you. Only way you can be attracted is bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuta paya. Only by bhakti you can be attracted. So this is interesting. Krishna is the most attractive personality. We are all attracted to him. But how can we attract Krishna to us? How can we make Krishna take notice of us? Attracting the all attractive is a challenge for devotees. Why should Krishna look at us? So Krishna, the word Krishna means what? We often say Krishna means. So Jiva Goswami explains Krishna. This Krishna is made up of two words. Krish means sustainer. Ana means bliss. Complete bliss. So he says, Tayor Aikyam Param Brahma Krishna Iti Abhidiyate. When the supreme sustainer combines with the supreme bliss, that is an explosive combination. Somebody who is nourishing us, somebody who is protecting us. Therefore, sarvam akarshati iti Krishna. Krishna is the most attractive, is a magnet who can attract everyone. And To attract Krishna, what will we do? If somebody doesn't have fame, if you become very famous, you can attract him. If somebody doesn't have any wealth, you can attract that person by your wealth. If somebody has no beauty, you may be attracted to a beautiful person. So there are different ways you can attract a person who doesn't have something. But Krishna, he has everything. How can we attract Krishna? It's not possible. Because Krishna is not short of anything. So, and we cannot attract Krishna with all this tapa, tapasya. You know, Krishna, I'm chanting 64 rounds today. If we tell everybody, that is not tapasya also, first of all. Tapasya is, we chant 64 rounds and nobody knows. So, and we have a lot of, you know, we show off our devotional service. So Krishna will not be attracted by that. We try to bribe the Lord. Sometimes we say, Krishna, I want this promotion in the job. Please get me this promotion. I'll offer you 3 coconuts. As if Krishna needs 3 coconuts from us. You know, in India, we have Hanumanji's worship in many temples. They offer him a garland made of medu vada. You know, vada. So there are 108 vadas and the vada has a hole in between. So they put a thread and for the offer. It's like a bribe. You know, I want this job. I want this. So, but Krishna doesn't need all of these things. Bhaktya tutosha Bhagavan. So the essence is basically our intention. Like for example, if I am making garlands for the Lord. Why am I making garland? Not because, you know, the people who look at the garland and say, wow, who made this garland? That's not the goal. The goal is Krishna will be happy if I offer this garland. When I cook for Krishna, it is for the pleasure of Krishna. All ability comes from you, my dear Lord. And I will offer whatever ability I have, which is given by you, to you. Just like we take Ganga, when we stand in Ganga river, we take the river of Ganga and offer it to Ganga. So like that. That is the mood in which we offer. And that's why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this very famous verse in the Gita where Krishna says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yava nishashmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyatva vishatita anantaram. So he says, Krishna is using the word bhakti twice in this shloka. And Krishna, he says, Krishna never uses redundant words. So twice he is saying bhakti in the same shloka means this is the only way. And if you see in ISKCON, I think it's one of those rare organizations. Srila Prabhupada is, I think, the only one practically who has translated bhakti as devotional service, both service and devotion. So Rupa Goswami says a very nice verse, how Krishna, nothing can attract Krishna. There's a beautiful shloka. Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka kubjayam kim namna rupam adikam sudamno kim tad dhanam vamsha ko vidurasya yadavapate ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktir tushyati kevalam nachaganer bhaktir priya madhavam. He gives different examples. The hunter Mrigari. What was, sometimes people say you should have a good behavior to attract Krishna. You should be a cultured person. So he says Mrigari, what was his culture? He was half killing animals. But he attracted the Lord. Vyadasya ka charan. Somebody may say, oh, you should be grown up, you should be mature, you should know the world. But Dhruvasya chavayo. Dhruva was a small child, he also attracted the Lord. Somebody may say, no, you should be educated, you should have knowledge, you should know all the shlokas of the Gita. So he says, Rupa Goswami says, Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka. What knowledge did Gajendra have? Somebody may say, you should be beautiful because Krishna is most beautiful. You should be beautiful to attract Krishna. No, kubjayam. What beauty did kubja have? Somebody says, I think you should have wealth. You know, you should be a rich life member. Sometimes people accuse us, oh, Hare Krishna's are for the rich people. No. Kubjayam kim namna rupam adikam sudamno kim tad dhanam. What wealth did Sudama have? Nothing. Somebody may say, no, you should be from a good family. You should be from a Brahmin family. Vamsha ko vidurasya. Vidura was not from a high vamsha. Somebody says, oh, you should be strong and powerful. Ugrasya kim paurusham. Ugrasena had no strength. He had become very old. But Krishna was protecting Ugrasena. Bhaktir tushyati kevalam nacha gunair bhaktir priyamadhavam. Only bhakti. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he translated bhakti as not simply feeling. Bhakti means wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to please the Lord. You know, many people say, I've seen many people say, I love God. I just love Him. Do you serve Him? No, I remember Him in the heart. You know, it's all about feeling. Do you love your child? Yes. So when your baby is crying, and do you change the diaper? No, I just love the child. I remember my child in the heart. No, if you love, you will serve. So if you say, I love Krishna, there is bhakti. Bhakti means wanting to serve, wanting to please. And generally, this is a very difficult quality. That's why Prahlad is clarifying, Krishna, you are so amazing that one cannot attract you with influence, power, beauty. He's giving all the list of 11 qualities. Only bhakti. Like once one man came, very proudly, he challenged Srila Prabhupada. He looked around, he was carrying his weight around. He was a very wealthy man. And he looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, what can I offer Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said, exactly, what can you offer Krishna? Then he became sobered by that and he realized, and all devotees laughed, like you are laughing now. So then he basically was humble. And he said, yeah, Swamiji, I'm sorry. What can I actually give Krishna? And when his mood became this, then Srila Prabhupada said, the best thing you can give Krishna is give yourself. Give yourself to Krishna. So, and when there is this loving exchanges with Krishna, when we offer Krishna ourselves, when we want to please Krishna, then that's when we feel loved. You know, this is a big difference between depression and humility. You will see a depressed person also say, I am useless, and a humble person also say, I am useless. But the difference is, a humble person would feel loved. You would never feel a scarcity of emotional fulfillment. And that for devotees comes from Krishna. So Prahlad is offering prayers like that. And then I'll just take two more prayers. Very nice mood. And then he says, Prahlad says, okay, somebody may be pleasing the Lord by pure devotional service. But what about those born in very aristocratic families? Because Prahlad is born in a demon family. So now look at Prahlad. He's saying, my dear Lord, although I'm unqualified, but I can offer prayers to you. And I also know that you are not going to consider one somebody's birth or somebody's external qualification. And then he says, he contrasts a high-class Brahman, but not a devotee, with a demon like Prahlad and others, but they have some devotion to Krishna. Vipra dvishad gunayuta daravinda nabha padaravinda vimukhat shapacham varishtham. Manyeta darpita mano vachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam natubhuri mana. He says, my dear Lord, a Brahmana may have 12 wonderful qualifications, but if he is averse to you, he cannot please you. Whereas somebody may be a shapacha, somebody may be a dog eater, but if he sincerely comes to you and wants to please you, then he is varishta, he is better than a so-called Brahmana. Because, why? What is the logic behind this? He says, because a proud Brahmana cannot even purify himself, whereas a humble devotee can purify the entire society. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this famous verse, that without devotion, Bhagavad Bhakti Heenasya Jati Shastram Japastapa, Aprana Seva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Like, you know, you have a dead body and you decorate the dead body nicely. What is the use of that decoration? So he says, if you don't have bhakti, you are like a dead body. And all the other things that you acquire, it's like a decoration of a dead body. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of one of his Western disciples, he says, his mother was completely averse to Hare Krishna's because her son had become a Hare Krishna devotee. But because he, although not born in a Brahmin family, although he is from a Western, Prabhupada writes that example in the purport, that he was sincerely practicing bhakti and sincerely loved Krishna, when his mother was dying, she remembered Krishna. And she inquired about Krishna from her son. So he says, this is how a devotee can purify the whole society. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, he called his god brothers for prasadam. And his disciples, Western disciples, they had cooked prasadam. Like Malati Mataji was there and many of them. They had cooked a wonderful feast. And you know what some of his god brothers did? When the prasadam started, they said, who's cooked this prasadam? And Srila Prabhupada very happily said, my disciples, and he pointed to his Western disciples, they are very nice devotees, they cooked, they are following all the regulative principles, they chant Hare Krishna, and some of Prabhupada's god brothers didn't eat the prasadam. Because they said, not Brahmana, not pure by birth. Srila Prabhupada was so sad. And later on, of course, some months passed, I think some years passed. Then the same god brothers came and they wanted to renovate their temples, their Gaudiya Math local temples. So they came to Srila Prabhupada and asked for donations, help, financial help. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you cannot eat prasadam cooked by my foreign disciples, but you want their money? So they, Prabhupada kind of chastised them for their attitude. And Lord Chaitanya is completely allergic to this conception that somebody becomes proud of his birth qualification. See, when Lord Chaitanya was meeting Ramanandaraya, this is an historical meeting. Ramanandaraya was born in a Shudra family. And when they were meeting, now you should understand externally, not, of course, we know Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Lord, but externally Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi. Sannyasi means the highest in the society. Secondly, Lord Chaitanya is born in a Brahmin family. And he is meeting Ramanandaraya, who is a Shudra, a lower caste. And they just look at each other, they become so happy because Lord Chaitanya has heard about Ramanandaraya as a great devotee. And Ramanandaraya sees Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya and Ramanandaraya run towards each other, and they embrace. And when they embrace, Lord Chaitanya starts crying in ecstasy, and tears come down from his eyes. Now, there are a lot of Brahmanas around, they are watching this scene. So you can imagine, 500 years ago, when India was a very highly caste-conscious society, these Brahmanas, they were shocked that here is a sannyasi and a Brahman and is embracing a lower caste man. And look at how Kaviraj Goswami describes this event. Eta sannyasera teja deki brahmasam shudra lingya kene korena krandhan. Look at this sannyasi's teja, effulgence. Eta sannyasera teja deki brahmasam. It appears as if Brahman has descended. But we are wondering, shudra alingya kene? Why is he embracing a shudra? And korena krandan, and he's crying. Why is this sannyasi Brahman embracing a shudra and crying? We can't understand. And Lord Chaitanya is embracing. And he's crying. But suddenly Lord Chaitanya realizes that these people are watching and they are getting bewildered. They have no idea about who is a devotee. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Yei mata vipragan bhava more man vijatiya loke dekhi prabhu kaile samarpan. Mahaprabhu realized, oh, these vipras, these brahmanas, they are around. They will not understand my ecstasy. And who are they? Vijatiya loke dekhi. Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhu said, they are vijatiya. Jati means caste. Sajatiya means my own caste. Lord Chaitanya saw these people who are vijatiya, means different caste. Lord Chaitanya saw them as different caste than himself. Although technically they were all same caste as Lord Chaitanya. But because they were not devotees, Lord Chaitanya rejected them. And because Ramanandaraya was a devotee, Lord Chaitanya accepted. I remember some of my family members, you know, they had this prejudice. They had this bias towards Western devotees. So when I went to some of my cousin's house, and what melted their heart, you know, Mahatma Prabhu, many years ago, he had come out with this holy name videos. I think in the YouTube, he had many 45-50 minute videos on. So in one particular session, he had called his daughter, Vraja Sundari, who was very young that time. I think she was 8 or 9, I think. And such an attractive conversation where he is sitting and he's asking questions to her on behalf of the questions that is on behalf of the audience on chanting 16 rounds and what happens, how the mind wanders. And she's giving such super excellent answers. And you know, she's carrying herself with so much grace, so much dignity. And anybody who sees it, you know, would feel so joyful. So that 45 minutes interview I played, I said, just watch this. You may not know anything about holy name. You may not know anything. Just watch this. And they saw it. They were all so fascinated. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is doing. Na? Prahlad Maharaj is just, he's speaking Krishna Katha to attract people's hearts. His prayers are attracting everybody's hearts. So devotion, there is no age barrier. There is no caste barrier. There is no religion barrier. So this is very, very important that Prahlad Maharaj is establishing this point that we should not worry about any external differences. And the last verse I would like to take for today is, now Prahlad addresses the most important question. All these prayers, humility, why are we doing all this? Are we doing this because are we doing a favor to Krishna by offering prayers to him? So this is one of the most amazing analogies I've ever read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad gives an analogy, he gives an example to explain why we offer prayers to Krishna. For whose benefit is it? How will it benefit Krishna if you offer prayers to him? Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidusha karuno vrinite yadyajjano bhagavate vidadita manam tachatmane pratimukasya yatha mukashri. He says, my dear Lord, you don't need anything from any of us. It is your kindness that you allow us to offer prayers to you. And by offering prayers to you, what are we doing? Tachatmane pratimukasya yatha mukashri. If somebody wants to decorate his face, what does that person do? Does he go to the mirror and does he decorate the mirror? The reflection in the mirror? No. He decorates his face. Automatically the reflection also becomes beautiful. So he says, similarly, if we want to be happy, we should glorify you. And then we, who are like the reflection, will automatically become happy. What an analogy, what an example he gives. Like, you know, a child, for example. Like Krishna in Vrindavan. What happens to Krishna in Vrindavan? You know, everybody comes and they want to dress Krishna. They want to decorate Krishna. They want to glorify Krishna. Like we do in the altar. What do we do every day in the morning? We put flowers on Gokulananda's turban, crown. We dress Srimati Radharani. We are decorating Krishna. But in the material world, we come to get all enjoyment. So when we are small children, I don't know if you have had this experience. When we are children, you know, our parents, they make us as a center. As soon as we are born, we are in the cradle. Everybody comes and looks at us. So we start. That's when we start thinking, I am the center of the universe. And they'll say, oh, such a nice nose. He looks like his mother. Oh no, this feature is like his father. And yeah. And that's how the thing starts. Yes, I am the center of attention. And then when we are getting ready to go to school, a mother would tie. I remember still my mother tying the shoelace. I'm just sitting like this. And she'll get some chapati and put it in the mouth, some prasad. We're getting ready to go to school. So we get service. We get, somebody dresses us, somebody decorates us. Ah. No, this is what we're supposed to be doing with Krishna. In the spiritual world, you know, Mother Yashoda, she's dressing Krishna. And Krishna's friends come early in the morning, even before the sunrise, because they want to go to the forest with Krishna to herd the calves. So Mother Yashoda says, why have you come so early? It's too early, go back. Sometimes they come in the midnight itself. And they are saying, no, sun has some problem today. Sun is going to rise a little late, but we have to go with Krishna. Mother Yashoda says, no, Krishna, I've just woken up, I'm decorating him, I'm dressing him. For then the boys would help Mother Yashoda decorate Krishna. Somebody would give a flute and Mother Yashoda would tuck the flute on his way, on his dhoti. Somebody would hand a peacock feather. So like that, Mother Yashoda loves to decorate Krishna. Krishna is the center. Oh, this is what we are doing in the spiritual world. But we come here and the whole game changes. We start taking and doing things for ourselves. And that's why we suffer. And Prahlad is saying here, simple thing. Just we glorify you because it's like decorating the face. Automatically the reflection is beautiful. Once one devotee was taking prasadam, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, he was a Siha Guru, Lion Guru. He was very clear about this funda. So when that devotee was taking Malpoa is a very special sweet in Bengal. So this life member, he was enjoying the Malpoa. He was really relishing it. More, you know. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, you are enjoying the Malpoa or is the Malpoa enjoying you? Malpoa is Krishna Prasad. Krishna should be enjoying you. You are not supposed to be enjoying Krishna. So when we glorify Krishna, when we make Krishna at the center, what happens is that, you know, that we have this burning anxiety in the heart. We'll experience that it actually gets cool. We actually feel, like right now in India, it's summer. And we have Chandan Yatra. Chandan Yatra is when we decorate Gopal Krishna's body with beautiful sandalwood paste. So, and I have seen so many devotees confess this. I'm not exaggerating. So many devotees admit this, that when they make that sandalwood paste, it's very hot in India. And not everybody has access to air condition. But they come to temple, they make this chandan, they start sweating. And the chandan is very cooling. But that chandan is not made for self. And when that chandan is pasted on Gopal and Darshan opens at 7 and Gopalji is... Seeing Gopalji is cool with the sandalwood, devotees feel relief from the pangs of burning pangs of material existence. This is a fact. This is a practical application of this shloka which Prahlad is speaking. That's what Rupa Goswami says, Aho aho bir nakaler vidhuyate sudha sudhara maduram pade pade dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam yasho yashoda tanayascha giyate. Yasho yashoda. Yashoda tanay means Krishna, Yashoda's darling son. Yasho means glorification. Giyate means sing. If we sing the glories of Yashoda's darling son, what will happen? Aho, aho, bir, nakaler, vidhuyate. Kali Yuga will not affect you. Sudha, sudhara. It's like a nectarine river. This glorification of Krishna is like a nectarine river. Maduram, pade, pade. And it is a very sweet river. It is, just imagine, it's extremely hot. Just imagine it's extremely hot and you're burning in that heat. And a cooling river appears in front of you. And you dive into that cool shower or cool rain or cool water. What happens? What relief we experience. That's what we feel when we connect to Krishna. And it is like, he gives two analogies. Dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam. The sheetal means the coolness. The devotee experiences like chandan. Chandan and chandra. Chandra means moon. Moon is also said to be very cooling. So this is what we need to do. And we see that when Krishna is added, the hole in our heart, the emptiness, that hole has to be filled with the complete hole. W-H-O-L-E. So therefore we need to make this transition in our lives. Therefore these first four prayers that we have taken, there are 50 more prayers like this. So the whole idea behind today's class is that we are inspired to read the other prayers of Prahlad. And otherwise, you know, if we are only in I, my life, my problem, then we are like that proverbial frog in the well that Srila Prabhupada talks about. You know, we don't know what rich experience awaits in Krishna consciousness. But then there is, the next prayer is very nice. The 12th verse, I request all of you to read it, where Prahlad says, my dear Lord, now I give up the conception of being unfit. So after having established clearly that he's fallen and he's unqualified, then he says, now I give up the qualification. Now I give up this conception. Now I'm going to glorify you with my best capacity and with full confidence. So this is very, very nice. Sometimes, you know, devotees have a false sense of humility. Prabhu, I'm so fallen. I knew one person. He was so humble externally. And when as service in charge, whenever we would give him seva, he would say, no, Prabhu, I'm not qualified. He's so humble that he cannot do devotional service. No, Prahlad is teaching us, yes, I am fallen, I am useless, but I will glorify you, Krishna. I will come to you because where can I go? I may have offended you, but I have no hope other than you. Bhumos phalita padanam bhumireva valambanam. If I fall on the floor, what do I do? If I fall on earth, how do I get up? I have to hold the earth and then get up. Similarly, if I have gone far away from Krishna, I am so fallen, that doesn't mean I go further away from Krishna. Krishna, I need you. I come back. So Prahlad is teaching us like this. And ultimately, there are many prayers. I would like to end. The conclusion is basically, Prahlad, one of his last prayers is Krishna. Now Lord Singhadev is standing in front of him and he says, my dear Lord, I ask for only one benediction. Please give me association of devotees. Hamsa Sangha, he says, give me association of devotees who always glorify you. And in that association, this is the only thing I ask from you. And he says, I'm not afraid of anything else. I'm not afraid of your ferocious form. No, I'm afraid of material energy. I just don't want to be in Maya. I want association of devotees. It's you know, it's amazing because we are having association of devotees. And we think if I make good use of this association, I will get Krishna. For us, association is a ladder by which we can go to Krishna. But here is somebody who has got Krishna and he is saying, I want devotees. It's amazing. Dhruva is standing in front of Lord Vishnu and you know what Dhruva says? Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvai me prasango. I want prasanga. Prabhupada translates prasanga as intimate association of devotees. Dhruva is asking for intimate association of devotees when Lord Vishnu is standing in front of him. Sthana bilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam. He is saying, my dear Lord, I am getting what which great devtas don't get. But all the things that I desired from you, kachan vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritartho smi varam nayache. All the thing I desired is like a broken pieces of glass when I am getting a priceless diamond right now. For the association of devotees is the priceless diamond. And Krishna is giving us this. Dhruva Maharaj wanted this. Prahlad Maharaj wanted this. When the Lord is standing in front of him. And Parikshit Maharaj is telling all the sages on the bank of Ganga before dying that, my dear Lord, if I have to take birth again, please give me association of devotees only. So this is the mood in which we approach Krishna. And especially association of devotees, we'll realize that this is what will nourish us. This is what will keep us going. And I know many devotees whose bhakti has continued because they got somewhere some association. Like I would like to end with one short story, a real story. Just it'll take 2 minutes more, although I'm beyond time. I saw this example of one boy who came to Hare Krishna movement and within 1 week he started chanting 16 rounds. And I was surprised. I said, Chinmay, I know you. You are just a new devotee and how come you're chanting 16 rounds? And he said, Prabhu, do you know my story? I said, no, I'll tell you. And he said, Shubhvilas Prabhu came to our college. He spoke about Hare Krishna. He gave me beads and I was not interested. I went home and I called my dad because my father keeps traveling on his business trips and every evening we talk on phone. So I called him and I said, Dad, I've got today somebody from something called Hare Krishna came to my college and gave me beads and he told me to chant one round. What do you think about it? And when I told this to my father, I could feel my father's silence. He got emotional on the other end. He said, son, I have to tell you something very important. I'm supposed to come 2 days later, but I'm coming tonight. I want to talk to you. So he hung up and he came home and he sat with his son and he said, I want to take you to the attic. He took him up. He opened a trunk and there was a few books of Prabhupada, published in 1978, and there are some beats. And he said, this is what I got from one brahmachari when I was in US, Boston, doing my master's engineering. Yes, I studied from IIT, and then he had gone to MIT, sorry, he had gone to Boston. And there, he said, there was a Hare Krishna temple there, and there was one brahmachari there who was very loving towards me. And he gave me these books, and his name is Niranjan Das, from Boston. So now, Chinmay doesn't know anything. He's a young boy, and he's telling me, my father told me about this brahmachari was very kind to him, Niranjan Das. And my father went on speaking for 2 hours about this brahmachari who was so loving to him, and he was crying. My father was constantly crying. I had never seen my father so emotional. And he said, son, I'm so happy that you got connection with this ISKCON guys, because this Niranjan Das would get cake for me, would get Mahaprasad to my campus. He would come only for me sometimes when I was sick. He got me back to good health. And whenever I went to temple, he gave me so much prasadam. I can never forget him. He was so loving, and I used to chant with him 16 rounds every day. But I came back to India, and then, you know, Maya, I got married to your mother. Then my business, then so many things happened. So I just stopped chanting. And every year during Maha cleaning of the house, I would see this trunk, I would see the books, I would see the beach, and I would feel guilty. I would remember Niranjan Das, and I would close the trunk. But I didn't have the courage to chant. But now you have come to Hare Krishna, I'm so happy. So I asked Chinmay, does your father know who the Niranjan Das is now? My father doesn't know, even I don't know, who is this? I didn't tell him. I said, your father never tried to contact him? He said, no, this was 1983, 82. And he said, after that, they were not in contact. So my father has no idea where this brahmachari is, what has happened to him. I said, Chinmay, coming Saturday is our monthly Prerana festival, which is our monthly festival for the boys. We have a festival for the girls known as Chetana, and one for the boys known as Prerana. And 2,000 boys come for this festival all over Mumbai. It's a big festival. The temple hall is packed. So I said, we have this monthly Prerana festival, and there is a very special speaker. So he said, who? I said, his name is His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. He was in Boston, and he was earlier a brahmachari. So Chinmay's eyes lit up. He said, oh, I'll tell my father. Can I get my father? It's only for boys between the age of 15 to 30. But I said, your father can come. Obviously, he can come as a special guest. So right in front of me, called up his father. And he was on the speakerphone. And he said, Dad, your Niranjan Das is now a big sannyasi in ISKCON, Niranjan Swami Maharaj. And he's giving a talk this Saturday. You should come. And he went wild. You know, he was so happy. He said, yes, yes, I'm coming. And he was supposed to be somewhere else, but he cancelled all his things and he came. And I was there in the festival, and I was constantly looking at his father. He was sitting on the chair, and Maharaj was giving class. And this man, he must be now in 60s, he's sitting on the chair, and the whole class, he was just crying. And Maharaj is surrounded by thousands of boys, and he's just giving a class. He knows nothing what's happening. He's just giving the class. And after the class, there was ecstatic kirtan, dancing. And after everything, Maharaj was leaving the temple hall, and I was with him, and all these people surrounded him. And, you know, the last formalities and kind of greeting everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, as he was going out. As Maharaj was leaving, Chinmay came with his father. And his father is just tears in his eyes. And I said, Maharaj, this is Chinmay, and he's come with his father. I didn't say anything more. Maharaj looked at him, their eyes met. And this man is saying, Maharaj, he just said, Maharaj. And Niranjan Swami, I saw this live. Niranjan Swami is saying, Boston. And then Maharaj said, Chetan. Chetan Kanake, his name is Chetan Kanake. Maharaj recalled his name after 35 years. And that was the first time they were meeting, and they were coming in contact after 35 years. I was shocked. And when Maharaj recalled, because, you know, name is very sweet when you hear your own name. And for somebody who's got so much love, and after 35 years, he didn't expect Maharaj would remember him. Not only Maharaj remembered him that he's from Boston, Maharaj remembered his name. And when Maharaj said, Chetan, he just fell on Maharaj's feet. He just grabbed. It was an amazing sight I had never seen before. And then Maharaj picked him up, Maharaj hugged him. And since that day, this man is chanting every day 32 rounds. Because I told him, you know, Niranjan Maharaj, since last 40 years, he's chanting every day 32 rounds. And yeah, yeah, I'm also going to chant 32 rounds because I have to make up for all the lost years. And his son is a brahmachari in one of our satellite centers. And he's serving very nice. And his father was the one who's insisting his son should become a brahmachari. So Prabhupada's mission will spread. People will appreciate ISKCON. And, you know, people will not think we are brainwashing. All these misconceptions will go away if we simply are nice with people. If we give them the experience which Srila Prabhupada wanted us to get. This is association actually. Caring for others, giving prasadam. That 35 years later also this man could remember. And he came back to Krishna. And this is what Prahlad is saying. Bhakti is very simple. To be in association of devotees, chant Hare Krishna. Otherwise we can't overcome our anarthas on our own efforts. Lust, envy, greed. You know, if it may be that, let it remain. But at least let me get association of good devotees who will help me remember Krishna when I'm dying. Will help me remember Krishna, will help me serve Krishna when I'm alive. So this is the way we practice devotional service. And like this, I think we'll be true representatives of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would be immensely pleased if we can care for each other, if we can sincerely give Krishna to the best of our capacity, if we can help each other remember Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.